Welcome to Temple of Health Radio Show. This is Dr. Susan Kolb, and today I'm pleased to have back as my guest, Catherine Frombovich. Today we're discussing her book, Eat to Beat Disease, Food's Medicinal Qualities. And she is the author of another book called Our Chemical Lives and the Hijacking of Our DNA, A Probe into What's Probably Making Us Sick. This was published in 2009. And I think today we're going to talk about chemicals, our diet, what is going on with all sorts of things that are making us sick. Welcome, Catherine. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Dr. Kolb, for having me on as your guest again. I truly appreciate it. And I hope that I can be of some help in trying to discern some of the things that people really don't understand about how food works in the body. It's probably the most important ingredient that we can use in our quest for wellness. I like to tell people that the human body is the largest test tube on the face of the earth, and yet it's a living organism too.
That's true. Give the listening audience a little bit of your background, where you discovered that our diet is so important, and what you came to learn about the chemicals in our environment.
Well, back in 1974, I was a regular eater, but always with a vegetarian bent. And unfortunately, mm-hmm. I was exposed to and poisoned by formaldehyde. And the doctors, allopathic medicine, just didn't realize what was going on. No mm-hmm. one appreciated at that time the harm that chemicals were doing, and everything they did to try to treat me almost killed me a few times. So to save my own life, I had to get out of allopathic care and into what's known as holistic health care, and I mm-hmm. went back to school, and I studied and majored in natural nutrition, not the dietitian's form of nutrition. And I became a consulting natural nutritionist in private practice and in doctor's offices. As a result of that experience with clients and my research and the work that I did in promoting healthy, proper nutrition in children and adults, I have been able to write many books because of the research that I do even further into what chemicals really are doing to the body. You mentioned my 2009 book, Our Chemical Lives and the Hijacking of Our DNA, A Probe What is Probably Making Us Sick. And that really, up until that point in time, discusses many, many, many of the aspects that people don't even realize where they find chemicals. And probably the most, I would say, detrimental and even criminal place mm-hmm. where we find food is in our food, where we find the chemicals is in our foods. They're deliberately put. Those chemicals are deliberately put in there. And mm-hmm. even the FDA really doesn't know some of them because of the Food Act of 1976, because they're loopholes that they don't have to divulge what's in them.
Yeah, there's an amazing amount of misinformation in the public about what the FDA even regulates. It's I actually gave a lecture on FDA regulation back in 2012 at the Truth Convention, and people just assume that the FDA is protecting them, whereas in actuality, it actually is protecting the chemical companies. It's very interesting, the revolving door that policies that are between the FDA and the chemical companies, and you see the people who used to be the vice president of Monsanto then becoming the head of the FDA. You know, it's just amazing when you look at that history.
Well, I think we're living in what's called a corporatocracy now, and everything is being ruled over and determined by corporations. Look at the media.
Yeah, they're protecting their own interests. The FDA again and again has said it's up to the company to provide the safety data. And, of course, there's a conflict of interest there. You know,
absolutely.
They're not going to really look at in the safety of something that they're producing if financially, if they find anything, it's going to be bad for the company.
In the late
so the
90s,
FDA is not protecting the public at all. I mean, they don't do that.
In the late 1980s, I was the legislative advocate and executive director for a national coalition working for saving holistic health care. It was called Coalition for Alternatives in Nutrition and Healthcare. And at that time, I was lobbying various agencies in the government in Washington, D.C. And we were hoping and trying to promulgate that the Food and Drug Administration should be split up and foods should go with USDA, which would be the natural, logical thing to do.
Right.
And they had it at one time, but it was changed. And that the Drug Administration should be cleaned up. We weren't very successful, I could say.
No. No, they've got a system that works for them. it's very interesting. But there's, you know, there's a lot to understand about the food and why we have to be very careful with what we eat. Would you like to comment a little bit about how people can protect themselves?
Well, what I'd like to bring to the listening audience attention is that there are trends, like in everything else, there are trends in what's going on with health. And currently, we're seeing that the age groups of 15 to 44, there's a 53% rise in strokes. And the general population under 65 years of age, the percentage there is only 25 to 31%. But here is the key. 80% of strokes are preventable. And the key to that, in most cases, is a proper diet, not smoking, correct blood pressure, and avoiding obesity.
Right. So let's talk a little bit about high fructose corn syrup, which is in all processed foods. What's that doing to us?
Well, that's a genetically modified food from most in most instances, because corn is about 90% GMO'd in the United States. And it just decimates the blood sugar metabolism mechanism in the entire body. But it is universally used by food processors, and it is just about every processed food that you eat or that you would buy. And they even went about changing the name to just calling it corn sugar, because high fructose corn syrup has gotten such a bad rep in food circles and in nutrition circles.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, I became allergic to that. It's interesting. It's interesting that the body would become allergic to something that's in everything.
Isn't it? Yes, because I think the allergies, from my observation, in most cases is not necessarily the natural food as made and grown in nature, but how it's tinkered with, and especially genetically modified organisms now and the genetically modified foods. In most cases, we do not know what they're splicing into transgenic organisms and GMOs. There's two kinds of genetically modified foods, transgenic and cisgenic. Transgenic has a gene, DNA, from some organism, animal, or whatever, that normally would not be found growing in nature. For instance, like a fish gene would be put into a tomato. That just can't happen. It's impossible. And then there's cisgenic, which means they have tinkered with it in some way, but they did not put in a gene. So we don't know what they put in. It could be, or what pathway in the organism that they were GMOing they changed. So it's that alone opens the human organism and the human digestive system up to a lot of allergic reactions and responses. That is one of the key things that everyone in holistic medicine it complains about genetically modified foods. Autistic children must, if they want to get better, go on a totally GMO-free diet to be able to get relief.
Well, you know the problem with that, GMO foods aren't labeled.
That is correct.
And they fought that terribly. You know, they had referendums, like in California, and the data that we got indicates that may have been altered by voting machine fraud.
Uh-huh.
And so what they did then was they went to the state legislature to, you know, get labeling, and that was actually a little more effective. But, you know, with voting machine fraud being so prevalent, I don't think we can trust anything like, you know, a proposition. I think that can always be manipulated.
I agree with you, and into the vested interests benefit, too. But here's something that I question about California in particular and GMOs there. What happens and how do GMOs factor into their Proposition 65 with regard to chemicals? Interesting.
The question was, what happens when...
The issue is, see, Proposition 65, as I understand it in California, are certain chemicals that cannot be used in manufacturing, in food processing, and so on and so forth. But from what I understand of how they work with regard to foods and so on and so forth, and this Prop 65 and GMOs all combined together, glyphosate is a Class 2B carcinogen by the World Health Organization designation.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but yet it's in our food supply.
Exactly. And how can the state of California allow that under Prop 65?
I don't think it's supposed to.
That's right. I find that to be some sort of a conundrum. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, it is. You're right.
And also another thing that I'm finding, and I can't prove, there's a lot of scuttlebutt about it, but you know what fracking is, to get shale oil out of the ground, and they use a lot of chemicalized water. That wastewater is being, because of the almost five-year drought that's going on in California now, which many people believe is a manufactured drought from the chemtrail spraying and weather geoengineering control mechanisms, they are using that fracking water to spray agricultural crops and even, I've heard, spray organically grown crops. Would you believe that?
Yeah, I didn't realize that.
Well, we need to get some proof from somewhere, but that's what I have been finding in my research, and I've been told. And that's why I put it out there, because we've got to really know for certain.
I know a lot of allergy, wheat allergies that are coming up, are not really to wheat, but from glyphosate spraying of the crop right before it is harvested.
There are two kinds. There's
if
two
you
kinds of, yes.
undo the allergy to the glyphosate, they can eat the wheat, but the problem is you still have the chemical, which
yes.
is a carcinogen, yeah.
But what you're talking about, Doctor, is called a staging process before harvest. And
yeah.
it's not just on wheat. It's on most grains and most legumes, beans, and that kind of thing. And there are two types of chemicals that can be sprayed, glufosinate and glyphosate. Okay, and usually the glyphosate is the popular name is Roundup. And I have written
right.
several articles at Activist Post about the complications and adverse health effects of glyphosate and Roundup in particular. As a matter of fact, there is a law firm out in Los Angeles that now is filing lawsuits against Monsanto because of people have used Roundup and been exposed to Roundup having contracted non-Hodgkin lymphoma.
They were exposed to Roundup?
Yes, and the glyphosate, and it has caused their non-Hodgkin lymphoma.
Yeah, and there's been a real increase in non-Hodgkin's lymphoma in the last few decades.
Correct, and that's when Roundup has become ubiquitous, and Monsanto
right.
claimed it was, you could drink it. Do you recall
yeah.
video on the internet about I guess he was a lobbyist for Monsanto promoting the rice that was GMO'd, and he said, oh, the glyphosate and Roundup was so harmless that you could drink it. So the host said to him, I have some here. I have a glass full for you. Would you like to drink it? And it was so funny how he embarrassed him and how he backed off and double-talked his way out of it. And he finally got up and left, and he was so furious. He wouldn't drink it.
I'm sure. Well, that's true. So what are some of the other GMO-based food products that we need to avoid?
Soy. Almost all of soy is GMO'd in the United States.
And it affects the immune system. It'll depress the immune system if you eat it.
Exactly. I don't think anybody really should be eating soy as a staple in their diet.
Yeah.
On occasion, if you have organically grown soy, yes. But a lot of folks, especially vegans in particular, just base their protein intake around soy, and I wouldn't recommend
dangerous
it.
Dangerous to do.
Yes, yes, yes. And another thing that I find terribly, terribly dangerous are the soy formulas for babies and infants. That is totally... You're ruining the child's interior ecology if you're giving him a soy-based formula if it is not organically grown or if it's, you know, GMO. I mean, no wonder you have a sick child and the child is throwing up and has all kinds of screaming gut problems. We've got other products. We've got an apple called the Arctic apple that won't turn brown, and they're coming out with now, I understand, two potatoes that possibly will be approved by FDA because they won't brown when they're cut. That's all I need. The other ones, some yellow squash and zucchini, they are GMO'd. They're working on wheat again. It had been originally sort of monkeyed with, and it didn't work out, and now they're trying to refine it so that they can get that GMO'd. Alfalfa is GMO'd, and that's a crop that's given to cattle to eat during the wintertime. So you have to be careful what kind of animal products you're taking, meat, dairy products, and even eggs and chickens and so on and so forth. What else? Papaya. Hawaiian-grown papaya is GMO'd. Of course, corn.
Corn is causing a lot of gut problems.
Absolutely.
Allergy in the gut, bloating.
Because it's ubiquitous. It's in most foods. Soy and corn, I can almost guarantee you, will be found in just about every and any processed food product, even if it's not on the label, because it is a part of an ingredient or a manufacturing device, product, whatever you want to call it, ingredient, that doesn't have to be listed. Or it's a binder, or it's something like they would add another. It can be a carrier for something else. What you have to be particularly concerned about, in my opinion, are things that say natural colorings or natural
flavorings.
Flavorings. Those that word natural, pardon my expression, is bastardized because it really is wordsmithing something that they want to hide, in my opinion.
Yeah, MSG is sometimes called natural flavorings, isn't it?
Yes, yes, it is. And that's probably one of the more ubiquitous things that's in there. I mean, Chinese restaurants years ago used to be called the Chinese restaurant or dinner syndrome until they realized what was going on. So I understand most Chinese cooks and restaurants don't use it anymore because they had such a negative feedback for their culinary type of restaurant and dining.
Yeah, that's true. So how, if GMOs aren't labeled, other than avoiding processed foods, which is obvious answer to that. But if GMOs aren't labeled, some of these apples and papayas and tomatoes, and how are we going to know that they're GMO?
We don't. That's the key. Unless there's what I call reverse labeling, you may see on packaged goods the GMO-free verified with a little butterfly on it,
mm-hmm.
or they say on there, like some canned products in particular, say none BPA lining on the can. That is something that I encourage everybody to do. You know, there is a labeling for fresh produce with a number 9 preceding the 4-digit numbers for the scanners at the checkout counter. So if you have a 9 and then like a 4011 or something like that, you'll know that that is an organically grown food crop. But they mm-hmm. do have an 8, a number 8, which was supposed to be used to designate GMO foods, and nobody is using that number 8 as they use the number 9. Interesting?
Hmm. Yeah, I didn't know that. So, what is that system? What do you look for?
It's only in the produce department. You don't find it in every other. It's in the live food, fresh food department. That's where you will find it. Nowhere else in the food market that I have seen it. But then for the meat and dairy products, you just have to look for organically grown or sustainable agriculture, those mm-hmm. kind of words, or reverse advertising. No GMOs. Or sustainably grown, we have to depend upon the veracity of the food producers. That's all. And I hope that most of them are, honest and upright, and you get what is on the label. If it's not, they are in violation of the food advertising laws.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. So, are there any precautions that you can take to get the glycophosphonates or the other things out of your system once you've been consuming GMO foods inadvertently?
Well, from what I understand, it's very highly toxic stuff that resides in the fat mm-hmm. tissue of the body. And that's very difficult to get out. That's why a lot of people resort to saunas and sweating and exercise.
Mm-hmm.
But the most important thing you have to do is you have to stop eating those foods, number one.
Mm-hmm.
Input.
Right.
You don't take any more of it. Number two, you have, in my opinion, you have to resist and keep away from all chemicals that are in the food chain, because they enhance the toxic load that's in your body. Excuse me. What I'm trying to say is this: you've got glyphosate in you, and it's affecting all of your organs, and the liver in particular, and your microbiome, which is your entire intestinal tract, and your immune system. So to get rid of that, you have to start detoxifying, but you can't do it very fast because you'll get extremely ill. You'll even stop doing what you have to do to get yourself well. And there are many types of foods that you can do to detoxify. There are one of the things that I find is very helpful, and people may not like eating it, but asparagus is one of the most efficacious foods in glutathione. And that is a highly detoxifying food. Citrus foods, in particular, a lot of people can be allergic to citrus. Then there are teas. Green tea is very, very helpful in trying to detoxify the body. Taking some sort of a program of detoxification with a holistic physician or healthcare provider who can guide a person through this detoxification program. It's because, as I say, it can get hairy and scary and turn people off when they really need to do this to get these toxins out of the body. Because we have also toxins coming in from the sky with these chemtrails, these things that they spray. Everybody thinks they're contrails in the sky. Well, all kinds of toxic material are in them. Barium, strontium, aluminum. And we're breathing these toxins in, and they are congregating in our lungs and in other vital organs. So I have been in contact with a researcher who has come up with a innovative way of trying to get these things out, been successful. And I am trying to figure out how to write an article about it because I don't want to, how shall I say, get anybody into trouble.
Mm-hmm.
But it we'll see what happens, where it can go. That's what I was doing yesterday.
Okay. Well, one thing I wanted to mention for getting chemicals out, the electrolysis foot bath by Dr. Overman will get hydrophobic chemicals out. And it's about a 15-minute foot bath. And it's a combination of a foot bath, an ozonator, because you put ozone in the water, and then the electrolysis harmonic quad zapper, which is like Hilda Clark's zapper, that plugs into the water. And you put a little salt in there. And that'll get out hydrophobic chemicals, which I think are the ones that are stored in fat.
Mm-hmm.
We do that a lot for breast implant chemicals. Because they're all hydrophobic. Yeah.
Okay.
Methyl ethyl ketone, the toluene, those kind of things.
Does it work on the silicone?
And silicone, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Very
Although
good.
Silicone's a larger molecule, it's harder to get out. So, but yeah, that's important. But sweating, not everybody can sweat. People who are very, very ill have trouble, you know, sweating. They just do. They're, you know, they're... It's harder for them to do that. They can do the foot baths, though.
Yes.
So we have, obviously, in this clinic, because we treat silicone toxicity, women who are very, very, very ill.
That is one of the things that I don't understand why medicine does that, breast implants.
Well,
because
the
doing.
Research was buried, just like the research on other chemicals, and the implant companies had... we're able to give 5-year data that was pretty good because most breast implants don't start to leak the chemicals for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously they knew what to study. They got them approved.
Yeah, and same thing like what was going on with the early mammograms until not too long ago when they were all calibrated correctly. But many women have been overdosed with those x-rays.
Just about every woman with silicone implants who gets a regular mammogram, especially a digital one, gets an overdose of radiation. And that was published in the Radiological Journal of Medicine. But I'm sure most doctors didn't read that article. I put it in my book, The Naked Truth About Breast Implants. It's because the radiation bounces off the implant back into the tissue.
Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable. So. That's one of the things that I have a hard time with allopathic medicine about. The research is there because I know it's there.
But it's hidden in all these journals that nobody puts it together. That's why my book was so dangerous. I put all the peer-reviewed literature together into a picture. Wasn't good.
And that's exactly what I did with the book before HB Disease was Vaccination Voodoo, What You Don't Know About Vaccines.
Right.
Strictly from all peer-reviewed research that was out there, published in
JAMA exactly.
And everywhere else, telling you what this stuff, these chemicals, most of the chemicals that I had listed were most of the chemicals in the vaccines, of what they were doing and harming the ones that were going across the blood-brain barrier, and some of them that were put in there just to open the blood-brain barrier. I mean, that's all there. How these doctors can tell mothers and parents, oh, their vaccines are safe, and when the child has
well, they don't
reaction,
read the journals, and they're inundated with lies from the societies and other, I mean, basically, there's a depopulation agenda, and the depopulation agenda is not just for increasing the risk of heart attack, stroke, and cancer, which we have a lot of proof this is doing, but it's also to make people not get pregnant. I mean,
exactly.
The vaccines were developed so that people would have problems getting pregnant later in life.
Doctor, can I tell you something very interesting? This, you just hit on something that I have to share with you, and I hope the author of an op-ed that had me edited for that person, and as soon as I sent it back today, it is so dynamic, I've got to share some of the information out of the, but I hope the place where she will, and she's a registered nurse also, will submit it, will have the integrity to publish it. But she recites the information from a Dr. Day in 1969. He was a pediatrician who was giving a conference, and all the conference attendees thought that they were going to hear his latest information that in research that he came up with on jaundiced children's birth.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't. What he did was he prohibited anybody from recording or taking notes, blah, 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 but told them what the New World Agenda was going to be and recited just exactly what you were talking about, Doctor, how it's they're going to be promoting this, that, and the other thing to reduce the world population, and there is a cure for cancer now. Back then, in 1969, he said they had a cure for every form of cancer. And the archives are maintained in the Rockefeller Institute, but they're not giving them out for society's benefit because cancer will reduce the population.
That's right.
You believe that?
You got it. Oh, I know. I know it's for a fact. I know all sorts of stuff about that, but I can't even say on the air.
I bet. I bet.
Can't say it.
But I'm
but,
hoping.
You know, I mean, obviously the 36 doctors that were discovering that certain things in vaccines were promoting cancer aren't here anymore.
That's right. Exactly.
That's right. Murdered.
Exactly.
Murdered.
I knew one of them very well personally.
Yeah.
Nick Gonzalez.
I did too. I interviewed Nick on his latest book, and he was hit with frequency weapons. And yeah. And so had he been on natokinase, he probably would still be with us.
He was such a brilliant physician. Oh,
He was. But he knew that what he was doing was not going to be accepted well by the powers that be. And he even made comments that the pharmaceutical industries wished that he'd been hit by a truck or something.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's very dangerous to go up against big pharma. I went up against the implant companies, and I had 2 years of frequency weapon attacks, and I learned a lot about frequency weapons, so I'm still here, and I think a lot of people don't realize that whistleblowers get hit with things that cause heart attack, stroke, and cancer.
Exactly.
And some of us are protected enough not to die. So,
they're called TIs, targeted individuals.
Yep. But anyway,
well, I think we've gone up far afield off of the nutrition area here.
Yeah.
But let's switch gears a little bit and let's talk about some food things, if we may.
Sure.
I've got some interesting things that I'd like to mention. Earlier I said there's trends in health. Well, another trend is the metabolic syndrome, and that's a combination of obesity, hypertension, and other dysfunctional metabolic issues.
It's belly fat.
Ah.
The metabolic effect of belly fat.
Exactly. Plus,
and it's high fructose corn syrup.
Yes, yes. That's where you store it. That's where you bank
it. That's right.
And those things really, those two things, the strokes and the metabolic syndrome, really point to diet and lifestyle.
They do.
Diet and lifestyle. And that is something that I think the you talked about the population reduction agenda.
Mm-hmm.
That's why all these things, these toxins, these poisons have been allowed in the food, the water, the fluoride.
Well, look at the obesity that exists in children.
Oh, I can give you some numbers on that. You ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
This is outrageous. As of 2011 and 2012, the stats that I were able to get when I was writing Eat to Beat Disease, girls ages 6 to 11, 16.1% are overweight, 19.1% are obese. Boys, that same age group, 6 to 11, 16.8% are overweight, 16.4% are obese. But here is where it gets really hairy scary. Women 20 years old and over, 29.7% are overweight, 35.8% are obese, with 8% morbidly obese. Would you explain morbidly obese for the audience? You're the doctor.
It's 100 pounds over your ideal weight.
Good.
Then good.
Your description was good, but not their situation.
Yeah.
Men.
Well, did you know about, I want to just interject this real quick. Have you heard of Metazol?
No, ma'am.
Metazol is produced by Quality of Life, and it's a lycopene from the lychee fruit, a small polypropylene molecule that's easily absorbed. You take two a day. It's scientifically shown to reduce belly fat and cures metabolic syndrome. It's one of our most successful supplements. You'll drop a dress size in 3 months. It does take 3 months, but you'll drop a dress size without any changing anything.
Really? Well,
oh, yeah, it's great. You really need to recommend it to people because once you have the belly fat, it's harder to get rid of it, but this will do it. And it also increases circulation, gets rid of wrinkles. It's great anti-aging.
Uh-huh. Okay. Let's get back to this obesity rate then. In men 20 years and older, 37.8% are overweight, 33% are obese, and 4.3% are morbidly obese.
Mm-hmm.
And those are outrageous statistics. I mean, I remember, I hate to tell you, but I'm going to be 79 years young, doctor, and I weigh only 119 pounds, and I'm 5'2".
Right.
So, I mean, I think that explains something on my part of keeping my body pretty, as people say I don't look my age at all. But anyhow, I don't remember a time growing up until about, I'd say, the late 1970s, early 80s, that I start seeing what I would call fat people. But then the obese people start coming in the late 90s, 1990s.
Right.
And I mean, these are the folks that, you know, take three or four chairs to sit on. You know what I'm sort of trying to...
Yeah.
I don't know how they could possibly travel in an airplane.
Yeah, they can't. Unless they buy two seats.
Yeah, and I think that some of the airlines are making them do that. Do you know that?
They are. Well, that's what it takes to seat them, so
but
the airline's not going to lose money.
Right. But can I say something also that, not in defense of them, but to empathize with them? I really think that most of these people don't understand what's in the food. First of all these toxic chemicals put on weight. That's what all the synthetic sugars do. They actually make you gain weight.
Right. That's very true.
All the synthetic drinks that they are drinking, synthetic sugar drinks like the colas and the root beers, they think they're going to, you know, they can have this and it's not going to put weight on them.
That's not true.
Much more weight on them than if they had drunk something with the sugar in it.
Right. I agree. I think that the aspartames and all the artificial sweeteners are got a lot of dangers to them.
Well, and
I mean,
in the book that
cancer
I worked,
and neurological problems and increasing weight, all of that.
In the book Eat to Beat Disease, which you know was my last book, and we're sort of talking about all of this stuff is explained chapter after chapter. It's very, very interesting how people who really want to get themselves together and fine tune their body, all they can have to do is a little bit of exercise, but what to put on the fork and how you cook it. Getting back to sugar, do you know that in the late 1700s, people ate only 7.5 pounds of sugar? Now we're eating 150 pounds of sugar on average. That's outrageous.
It is outrageous. You're absolutely right. It's also feeding yeast, and the yeast makes you crave sugar.
Not only that, but also if you are a cancer patient, you have to stay away from sugar in any form and anything that turns into sugar in the body.
Right.
Because sugar is like fertilizer for cancer cells.
It is, absolutely. Yeah. Well, we live in interesting times. We really do.
Yeah, I agree with you. And it's going to, I think, get more interesting the more people want to be able to control the population to effectuate, like you say, the agenda that's out there.
Do you know that teenage pregnancies are down significantly?
Yes. And you know why?
Yes.
I attribute it to two things.
I do.
What?
But you're
the
expert in that, so you tell
me. Oh, no. I'm an expert in nothing. I know. Let me say this, doctor. I know quite a bit about a lot of things, but I'm an expert in nothing, all right?
Okay.
That's my caveat. I do believe it's partially from the HPV vaccine, because that's one of the ingredients in there. That's but the polysorbate 80 in all vaccines has the agenda of making infertility available to those that get it. And the other thing is the sex education programs that are going on. I think people are getting a little more savvy about having sex for fun but not having babies as a result. But those are my two opinions.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Do you agree or not?
Yeah. No, I think so.
Okay.
I think that there was a lot of things in the third world vaccines that were meant to cause involuntary sterilization.
I guess it was about a year and a half ago now, the Roman Catholic archbishops or clergy in the Philippines, I believe it was, raised a lot of cane. Accusing, I think, and maybe, or was it in an African country, raising Cain about their finding that there were anti-fertility and other kind of drugs and chemicals in vaccines, but it sort of went by the wayside.
We have a problem, though, and really the globalists have identified a problem that is very, very true. We do need to learn how to control population. China has just recently lifted a ban on the one-child rule.
The way I understand it, you have to ask for permission, too.
Right. So, the facts are that reproductive freedom is not probably going to be a right in a world that's overpopulated. It just can't be, And we haven't really addressed that globally. They've been trying to address it through, the back door with the vaccines and with other methods. The Zika virus was a big thing to blow up, in Catholic countries so that people would quit having sex, because they were afraid they were going to have microcephalic children.
Yes.
I believe that was really a big part of Zika. But we need to address it head on. And to do that, you have to have an organization like the UN that is actually effective, which we don't have now. We have to have voluntary measures at a global level that really are for the good of the planet. And we just don't have that. I mean,
but
it doesn't exist.
But as I sort of assess the issue from coming from my age group and having lived through almost 80 years of life now, they have created the problem with their sex as entertainment industry.
Well, yes, but, you know, I mean, I don't have all the answers. I just know.
No, neither do I, but I point that out.
Historically, what has happened in other civilizations, that there's a book called Alien Mind. I don't know if you've ever read it, but
no,
you can read it online.
It's a very good book.
Have you heard of it?
I've heard of it, but not read it.
It's very good. It's alien or extraterrestrial viewpoints about Earth. These are the extraterrestrials that are working with our government. And they point out historically that planets have evolutions that they go through. And one of the most important evolutions is controlling population. And, you know, some species become non-sexual and just go on cloning, you know, so it is regulated. And other societies or worlds stay sexual, but there's a lot more violence, there's a lot more wars, there's a lot more problems.
That's where we're at, and we have to attain higher consciousness.
Right. So, and then a few planets actually blow themselves up with nuclear weapons because they become nuclear before they're evolved enough to figure out that they shouldn't blow their planet up.
Isn't that what made part of the asteroid belt?
It is. Malduk. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, historically, you have this test of nuclear danger where you can actually blow your planet up if you don't get past that. And I think probably we've almost done that here a couple of times. And then we have the problem of population. And it's a problem that has to be addressed globally and probably not through the back door. It probably needs to be addressed, you know, up front. And what I've always said is that you probably should have some criteria for having children, you know, like being able to afford them, being able to educate them, being able to raise them in a loving environment, not in a foster home. You know, there needs to be criteria, because when you screw children up, then your crime rates go up. So, you know, you really have to look at this in a way that can be controlled so that we don't keep putting out children that are not loved, not valued, and then grow up to be, you know, having excess medical problems, excess criminal problems, and then just, you know, lack of parenting skills because they never experience good parenting.
Can I just share something with you? My late husband and I, we didn't contribute to that. Neither we as a married couple, did not have children. And that was a conscious decision on our part, because we just saw the way things were going and didn't want to make things worse, in our opinion.
Yeah. Well, the problem is that, you know, I haven't had children either, but probably we would have been better to have children than a lot of people who did, because we could have provided them with a loving environment, with good education and, you know, good nutrition and everything else. But I really think that it is a problem that needs to be, at least historically, with this information coming from the extraterrestrials, is something that each society has to get through. So there's danger points there. Like, you really can screw up your world with overpopulation. It is very possible to do so.
But I would say that a lot of the problem revolves around the controllers, the 1% elite, who could make life a lot differently and better for those who are compromised in any way, but they don't. They just feed off of not only our energy, our work, and our money, but...
Yeah, you know, I really believe, though, that that this problem is going away shortly. You know, we're coming up on ascension, which is essentially a harvesting, a spiritual harvesting that has to do with frequency. So the people who are inherently evil, the people who are inherently service to self at an extreme degree, just simply won't be around. You know, they're going to be taken out. So we don't have to fight against anything. We just have to wait.
And then, do our best. Do our best to educate, to
right.
be empathetic, to be helpful.
Yeah, we don't have to battle against forces of darkness anymore. It's being handled. So you just have to take care of yourself. You have to eat right. This is what we're being told by our spiritual guidance. You know, meditate, eat good food, get enough rest, get a lot of rest, and take. I've been told to take magnesium malic acid because this ascension process requires magnesium.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, especially if you have headaches, muscle aches, and a lot of these insomnia and everything, increasing your magnesium will help a lot.
May I share something with you? You said meditate. I would just like to share this. I hope that, I don't know if I'm going to make brownie points or not, but every morning as soon as I get up, I'm in prayer and meditation for an hour.
Mm-hmm. Well, it helps with the ascension process, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
It really does, because it helps integrate these energies. And right now, there's a lot of fear among the lower energy segment of the population because they're not sure what's happening. And it is just beginning. I mean, it's going to get a lot more intense. But essentially, they can't escape from it. There's no going off planet. There's no, I mean, because it's a process that's happening throughout the solar system. It's not just this planet. It's not just one thing.
That's the interesting
part. It's an energy
part.
Coming from the galactic center, so you're not going to be able to get away from it.
Exactly, but Earth, planet Earth itself, is now in a position, as I understand it, in the galactic universe where we've never been before either. So we are being bombarded, if you want to say, for lack of a better word, with all kinds of energy systems coming at us that we have to deal with, and yet they're compounding, the controllers are compounding it even worse with all the spraying that they're doing with the chemtrails.
Yeah, there's a lot of different theories about what the chemtrails are doing. But I do think that, I do believe that there will be a lot more frequency-based trials from the powers that be. I think that they're going to use the satellites, the cell phone towers, and HARP to fight with frequency soon.
Who's going to use that? The
powers that be.
Oh, the powers
yeah.
to be. I think they're going to shut them down. I think they're going to shut them down like they did the silos and the nuke missile silos. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
I think that's what they're going to do. And I, from my understanding of some of the stuff that I've been hearing, is that has happened. And actually, you heard about CERN over in Switzerland?
Mm-hmm.
They had an accident over there that they can't explain, from what I understand, within the last year or so, that took out a whole section of their collider. Interesting. And they actually saw something materialize that took it out. But that's my understanding. Do you understand that also?
Well, I knew that CERN was opening up portals that shouldn't be opened up.
That's right.
And I knew that the friendly extraterrestrials and working with the spiritual hierarchy were going to control that. I don't know exactly how they did. But we heard that they were going to do it, so I would assume they took care of business.
I don't know, but
I know CERN's broken down several times.
Yes, 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 and
so
I think they've had
a lot of trouble, a lot more trouble than they should have had. So I can assume that probably some of that trouble came from sources that didn't want those portals to be open.
Well, somebody sent me an email. Within the last 10 days, I guess it was. With regard to back in August, I believe it was, No, wait a minute. Was it at solstice or August? I don't remember exactly. That there was a human sacrifice at CERN, on
really?
The grounds of CERN. Yes. Yes, and it was performed in front of the statue of Shiva that's out there. Now, mm-hmm. I don't know if that's true or not, but if that's really stuff that's going on, that is negative energy.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a lot of theory that Satanism is a big part of that section. And what I like to point out, I talk to the handlers a lot, and I like to point out that the ascension is the reversal of the Luciferian rebellion, and that 200,000 years ago, Lucifer, who was an angel, petitioned the administration for more free will in 36 planets that he was over, and the administration granted it as an experiment. And of course, it didn't turn out real well. You see what happened on Earth. We forgot who we were. We forgot our spiritual connection, and some pretty negative things happened. But the ascension is reversing all of that. So we will remember our spiritual connection, and we will probably get rid of genocide and a lot of real negative things that are happening here. But what I point out to the handlers is, why would you even want to worship Satan? Satan was Lucifer's administrator.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Lucifer has since gone back and is working for the light side in the ascension. You know, the angels can just change their mind. It's no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
But the assistant to Lucifer is Satan. Why would you worship an assistant? It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
I mean, why not worship God if you want to worship somebody?
It reminds me of something
that... It's just silly.
Yes, it reminds me of something that I don't know how crazy this is going to sound, but something with the moon. Are you familiar how the moon god is supposedly a creature of one religious belief system as their god? But that's the farthest and furthest. I'll go with that. Okay.
Okay.
So you know, it's unbelievable what goes on. But you know, to each his own. And as you say,
well, I think it's going to be. I think you don't need to fight against these forces, because these forces aren't going to be around. Okay, when the spiritual harvest comes, we're going to be separated. And so even if the third dimensional world continues on, we won't be part of it. I mean, we'll be at a higher vibrational level.
Wow.
So we won't have to worry about that in our world. So that's what I figure is happening, is we don't have to fight against evil, because it's just going to be separated. It's just going to, it's the ascension is going to essentially cause that to be a non-problem. So when everybody's really upset about everything the powers that be are doing, and the chemtrails and the chipping and the, you know, all the things that are evil, I just say it's not going to be around.
Well.
So.
If I could say this.
That's my theory.
If I could say this, from your mouth to God's ears.
Yeah, right, right. Well, that's what we hear anyway.
Well, okay.
So we have sessions every Sunday where we get information from the spiritual hierarchy, and we've done so since 1990, and it's real consistent information.
Good.
We're in the ascension right now, and this is happening right now.
Do you remember the harmonic conversions?
Yes.
In 87, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Where I had lived up in Bucks County, I was, coincidentally, I have to tell you this because I think you'll appreciate it, you know, everybody around the world at the same time, but it was a different time zone, so like it was 5 o'clock in the morning where back then, and I was there with a friend in a hotel, a big room. And the next morning, my husband opens the paper, and he says, "You made a newspaper." And there was a picture of me in meditation, glasses on my lap, mm-hmm. hands folded, in deep meditation.
Mm-hmm.
The face of the harmonic conversions, that's what they had me listed as.
Really? Oh, great.
Interesting. Wasn't that?
It is.
I thought that was very, very interesting. And
it is.
I've saved that paper. It's someplace in my... folders and files.
Yeah,
but that was
that's
to me
great.
That was very interesting. That And as time goes on, I think of that more often and more often and say, wow, what's going on here?
Right. Well, we're coming up to the end of our hour. Would you like to give your contact information?
Okay. First of all, the book is Eat to Beat Disease, Food's Medicinal Qualities. It's available on Amazon.com. And my website is my name, Catherine, C-A-T-H-E-R-I-N-E, middle initial J, Frompovich, F-R-O-M-P-O-V-I-C-H, .com, CatherineJFrompovich.com. And I write for Activist Post. I'm a member of the Alternate Press. A lot of my research, comments, op-eds, etc., are published there. And the ones that have to deal with health and nutrition are also published at naturalblaze.com.
Great. Great. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. I appreciate it.
I enjoyed our conversation. It was very invigorating, and I hope that your listening audience was able to get something out of my discussion. Thank you very
Great.
Much. I appreciate the...
Great. Well, this is Dr. Susan Kolb. We've been interviewing Catherine Frombovich on her latest book, Eat to Beat Disease. Catherine's other books are on her website, and I've interviewed her multiple times on Temple of Health Radio Show. Please go to her website and see all of the great information there. This is Dr. Susan Kolb with Temple of Health Radio Show. Please join us next week.